encountering God in the secret place, there is a scripture that says that God will reveal in a secret place, in a secret place, that we would discover treasures, that we would see treasures, that we would find treasures. And again, I just want to ask, have you ever had a secret place? Growing up as a child, I had a secret place, and not necessarily secret, because everybody knew where I was, but it was just my safe place, the place that I just loved to spend time with. And it was my gran's house in Pollock. But every summer, I would be over at my gran's, there, just my gran looking after me, spoiling me, and just that was my place there. Outrunning is also just that place where I just hear from God. Again, some of the videos that I posted was just the results of as I ran. It was like oxygen got to my brain and I could think clearly, hear clearly. I was just running with God. And God would speak right into my situation. When I came here as a pastor, I discovered a place over the bridge there in Tayport. It was the Harbour Cafe. Every Monday, I would be over there, just walking around the harbour, talking to God, having a cup of tea and four rolls and bacon, as I just spent time with God reading. That was my secret safe place. And we all have places. And today I'm going to be speaking about just that place with God. Do you know, I believe for us in our Christian life, we do need a place. Just that safe place where we can meet with God, a place to abide with him, a place to be with him. Again, not necessarily a secret place, but just that place. Is God everywhere? He is. And I'm sure you could say, well, I can meet God anywhere and God can meet with me anywhere. But I believe there is something about being intentional about a place. Do you know, currently my place is through in that office. I bought a brown leather chair, £1 there, and that is my place. You know, when I'm coming down to work in the morning, that is the first place I go. I just sit in that seat and I say, God, this is my space. What do you want to say to me today? And I want to encourage you by hopefully the end of this message that you are beginning to think about finding a place. So, a place, a space. Where is your space? Where is your place? We're starting 21 days of prayer. And again, many of us will be putting on a spiritual armor, ready for warfare and ready to fight. And again, that is part of it. We are in a spiritual battle. But I want to say how we enter into these 3 weeks of prayer will determine what we discover in the 3 weeks of prayer. It will determine how we come out of these 3 weeks of prayer. And I am believing that we come out with some transformation, with some change in our lives. And I am asking and encouraging you to make this 21 days at places of encountering God, to be intentional about meeting with God. He is intentional about meeting with you. And so will you be intentional about meeting with him in our groups and in our prayer meetings? I want to say for those that are going to be leading them, to make space for God to come. It's not 1 hour of constant praying. It is just, God, we're leaving time open. What do you want to say to us today? All through scripture, we see people making space. Abraham and Isaac, whenever they moved, they built their altar. They made a place of worship where they would meet with God. I believe this is a time God is going to speak to us, yes, about the church. But I believe, again, more importantly as well, that God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you. I was praying into this year thinking, God, last year, so quickly and so easily did I hear what God was wanting to say, a year of change there. God showed me. Coming through Christmas and just getting New Year ahead, I'm saying, God, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. God, what is the year? What do you want to say to us in this year? What's the word, God? Didn't hear anything. And then one night, I had a dream. I received an email in my dream from God. And it said from Heavenly Father was who it was from, Ree Stephen. It was to me and CC, the church. And then all that was on the content was Ree 24. Ree 24. God, what does that mean? Ree 24. And you never, when you send an email and you want to speak to someone on a particular subject, you go, I want to see you, Ree. And I really felt that God was going to speak to us, to me, to you, to us as a church. And there'll be times when there'll be the subject matter God will let us know. He will speak to us through the year. Maybe you need some restoration in your life, a restoration of joy, purpose, passion, a refocusing, realignment. Maybe you need to rediscover God's great love for you. Maybe you need some recalibration. That was one of the years. Do you remember when I brought that word? A recalibration, being reset to the purposes. Whenever you recalibrate a machine, you bring it back to its intention. And for us, we have gathered so much stuff in our lives, so much junk and baggage and beliefs about ourselves and about God, our purpose. What are we to do? What are we doing? And I believe we need a recalibration of our lives back to that place that we were created by God to worship Him, just to enjoy Him. And yes, all the things that need to be done do need to get done. But our place starts with God, which is why on this first week of our prayer week, our focus is God. Our focus is you and God. Is you and God. David was a man after the heart of God. And we need to build that, I believe, into our life. And my question that I want you to be thinking about this week is, where are you with God at this time in your life today? Today, where are you with God? I'm not asking, where are you with church? It's a side issue. But where are you with God at this time in your life? Because if we're going to journey and expect change to come, we have to know our starting place. Do you know, again, some of us might be empty. Do you know, we have given out so much. It would be foolish, and if you're an anxious person, don't do this. When you jump in the car and you start the engine and it's probably just near the red, and you say, well, go to Glasgow, I'll get a garage on the way there. And then you hit the A90 and you just see the traffic. Now for me, I would be there panicking. I'm going to run out of fuel. I'm never going to make it. I have a great thing on my dash there, is it tells you how many miles you can go before you need that petrol. And so I'm always thinking, how low can I go before that light comes on? And wouldn't it be easier, would it not, just filling up a tank? Just filling up the tank. And you know, in our lives, we just push through life without filling up the tank of our lives, keeping filled with the Holy Spirit, our emotional tanks, you know, spending time doing things that refresh us, you know, which is why when in February, when we do the healthy emotional spirituality course over 8 weeks. I want to implore you, I want to encourage you to be involved in here when we meet here on a Wednesday night and we go through that 8 weeks of just looking at areas in our life where we just need to see some health come. One verse I want to read, 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14. The king and all the people with him arrived at their destination exhausted, and there David refreshed himself. The king and all the people with him arrived at their destination exhausted, and there David refreshed himself. The message says, by the time they reached the Jordan River, David and all the men of the company were exhausted, and there they rested and were revived. They were revived. David refreshed himself. He used the place where he was as the safe place, as the meeting place, as a place to be revived and refreshed. David had to run. They say that this psalm was written when David was on the run from Absalom. Absalom, his son, betrayed him, and Absalom took over the kingship, and David had to go on the run. They were after him. They were wanting to kill him. And here is David on the run with his men, and he came to a place, and they were exhausted. And it says, and there David refreshed himself. Where he was a place where he could meet with God. Anywhere that he would go, he could meet with God. It was a wilderness place that David sought God and worshipped him. Today, are you dry? Are you wearied? Maybe you have been running so fast last year that you are coming into this year exhausted. Well, I believe that as we step into these 21 days, that this could be a time when you will meet with God. David discovered something, another treasure, that David could lose everything, the kingship, his worldly wealth. He could lose it all, but the one thing he wouldn't lose was God's love and care and protection for his life, his relationship with God. David's inner world at this time was a bit like his outer world. He was dry and wearied, and he refreshed himself. In this safe, secret place that David came to, again, not necessarily secret, but this was his place where he refreshed himself. He sought God. He sought God. This Psalm 63, which we're going to read just briefly, you do have it on your seat. I want to give us a bit of time just to reflect on it. So I'm quickly going to go through these verses. One writer wrote, there is a place of rest near to the heart of God. There is a place of rest near to the heart of God. You know, David was on the run. Jerusalem was his home, his place of worship. But what do you do when you find yourself in a place that's unfamiliar? What do you do when you are in a weary place? What do you do when you can't get to the church on a Sunday? What do you do? You meet with God where you are. David's longing for God is satisfied as he worships, as he meditates, and then he will face his battle. And I believe that is the place where we need to get to. It's that place with God before we even fight the battles. Sometimes it's just a fight to get that quiet place. Have you discovered that? Oh God, you are my God, and I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen your sanctuary and gazed upon the power, your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. And how did David refresh himself? The first thing I've got here in verse 1, he had a desire to earnestly seek God. That this is a desire to earnestly seek God. Sometimes we turn to other things. Sometimes we take time out. I'm going through such a hard time. I'm just taking time out from church, Stephen, sorry. The time when we should be gathering together and encouraging, supporting one another, building one another up, praying for one another, seeking God together. That desire, earnestly seeking God. God was his source, and God is your source. David recognized his current state and knew that he needed God. Second thing I've got here, he remembers. He reminds himself of where God had refreshed him before. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and your glory. He remembers the meeting times and the encounter times with God. And for us, as we go through these times, as we make that space, as we face difficulties, we remember the times when God delivered us. God, you did it then, and you will do it again. We have to believe it. He remembers the sanctuary, the place, the meeting place with God. He saw the power and presence of God. His deep love for God caused him to earnestly seek. As a deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. Do you know, sometimes in our life, we are not hungry enough. We are not thirsty enough. And my prayer is that God would make us hungry. God will make us thirsty. Why? Because we have been feeding on other things. Third word I've got here is assurance. Assurance. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. David had an assurance that he still had the steadfast love of God. Everything else was taken away. Do you know, it may seem that everything may be going, that everything has been stolen from us. As David, as he was on the run, his throne was stolen by someone else. But yet he knew he still had the steadfast love of the Lord. That assurance, being loved by God, was better than life itself. God showed us how much we are loved by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. David refreshed himself, I believe, by worship and praise. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting my hands to you in prayer. In the good times, in the blessing times, in the fabulous times, but also in the tough times. It is very difficult when we are facing some tough stuff, when we are wearied and tired, to come and say, God, I praise you, I worship you. But I believe these are the places and these are the times when we will see an even greater measure, a greater measure of God and his presence in our lives when we come and we are in that hard place, but we raise our hands and say, God, I worship you. I worship you and I praise you. Again, it's not easy, but there is much blessing when we do it. Desire, remember, assurance, praise. Fifth one I've got here is help. God was his help in times of trouble. Anyone here in trouble? Anyone here in trouble? God is your help. God is your help. David, as he is refreshing himself, I am sure he is remembering the times when God helped him through before. When he went after that bear and he killed it. When he went after that lion and he killed it. What happened? God helped him. When he stood and faced Goliath, 9.5 feet, as David stood before Goliath, God was his help. Because he had an assurance that God was with him. Is this good news? Is this blessing you? I've got here, next one is his covering. God was his covering. God was his protection. God was his shelter. Because you are my helper, I will sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 91, he will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your protection, his wings. Do you know, as an eagle makes the nest uncomfortable for the chicks, do you know, it takes out all the fluffy wool and all the things and the feathers, and it's left thorns and branches, and it gets a bit uncomfortable. And the chicks decide, okay, let's fly here. And they go, and they drop. And they are falling, trying to flap those wings. Maybe even some are actually thinking, what do I do with these? But underneath is the eagle waiting. We just fall on to the top of the eagle. And the eagle would be caught. Do you know, even the wings covering the chicks. Didn't Jesus say, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wished I could gather you and just bring you under the wings just to protect you and to cover you. That's what God does. And that, I believe, is a safe place. And last one, confidence. We can have a confidence in God. Are you confident? Are you confident? Do you know, when I started out in preaching, and I wasn't confident. I stuttered and stammered and panicked and cried, and I wasn't confident. Do you know, many of us are facing stuff where you don't feel confident. But as we get close to God, as we allow his strength and his wisdom and his love and his comfort, I am confident. We can be confident. David was confident. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. He's got you. My prayer, last sentence, for these 21 days is that you will find your place is that Jordan River that these guys came before, and that that would indeed be a place of refreshing for you, a place of encounter. And you can take, I would encourage you, even this Psalm 63, take it with you, meditate on it, declare it over your life. And we're going to do that now. We're going to do it now. We're going to come around communion.